This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Delgado Community College plays an integral and vital part in our economy here throughout the metropolitan area, and it's always a pleasure to have a segment talking about Delgado First, and we're joined by the Chancellor, Larissa Littleton-Stibe, as well as Jennifer Fernandez, the Dean of the Charity School of Nursing at Delgado. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good morning.
So, Chancellor, we'll start with you, if you would. Give us a little bit of the state of Delgado today.
Ah, awesome. Well, we are in full swing of our fall semester. We have multiple mini sessions within a semester to just ensure that we have flexibility for our students. So we are gearing up for an eight-week session that is going to begin October 9th. So registration for that session is underway. We will also have a winter session, and that's a mini session. That's from December 11th until January 11th. And that's for those students who, you know, want to continue their educational journey even during the break between the fall and the spring semester. So at Delgado Community College, we have flexibility. We have evening, weekend courses, day courses, online, face-to-face. And so that is the state of the college as we stand.
I love how nimble y'all's approach is, because everybody's faced with life challenges. Sometimes you got a job that comes up and it is going to require more time of you, and you have a definitive end date and you may not be able to attend this program offering, but there's one like the one from December 11th to January 11th that makes sense. Yeah. And helps you catch up.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, you have to keep in mind this. So what we know is the average age of our student is 28 years old. And so with that, they're juggling. They're juggling so much. They're juggling, you know, job, work, family, kids, and the like. And so that time frame of a winter session allows them, it's a break. Their kids are off from school. It's a break for them. So it's a time that they're able to carve out just for them to be able to work towards their educational goals.
I mentioned in the intro that Delgado plays an integral and vital part to our economy throughout the metropolitan area. You guys support, I think it's somewhere around 10,000 jobs across the metro area.
Yeah. Yes, we do. The economic impact of Delgado Community College is great. We're around $551 million of an economic impact, which is huge. So when you think about the fact that, you know, 3 out of 9 individuals, someone has attended Delgado Community College, and it's about continuing to learn, right? So what we find is that individuals will come to us, get what they need, go to work, and then come back and upgrade that skill set, right? And so that's very important, especially today, you know, when we need skilled individuals, especially today when we have a state where, you know, our governor, that he's looking to bring business and industry partners into the state of Louisiana. So we have to provide the talent base so that these companies will want to relocate here, right, and provide them with the skills that they need so that companies see Louisiana, you know, as a choice state, a state of choice.
It really helps people that have kind of made the choice of where they want to be, right, and what type of employment they want to be in. The fact that you guys visit with these industry leaders and design the programs, as y'all put it, to make them career ready. I can't think of a better match, right, to talk to the industry leader and then educate individuals so that they're career ready to fit the bill or fit the needs of that future employer.
Yeah. So So 98% of our graduates actually live and stay in the region and pay taxes, right? That is what we want. But it's that industry input is vital. It's vital in developing programs. It's vital to the point that when you have a business and industry partner sitting at the table with you, telling you what it is they're looking for in an employee, and then you go and you develop that curriculum with their input, the return on investment is great, because that industry partner is going to provide you with the equipment. They're going to provide you with the resources, and then they're going to hire that graduate. And so, you know, that's what we pride ourselves on. My background is workforce development. I had the pleasure and the opportunity of working at Delgado Community College, you know, back in the day when workforce was king, right? And so being the chancellor now at the institution, where I see that everything we do is workforce development. Even the students who come to us that want to transfer to the four-year institution, they're coming to us to get what they need to transfer because they want to go to work. Right? And they want to get that degree so that they can go to work. And so when you approach it with that mindset, everything you do is about scaling up and making certain that you meet the needs of what the state needs.
Let's pivot to Jennifer Fernandez, the dean of the nationally recognized Charity School of Nursing at Delgado. Congratulations for that, Dean. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then let's move to the programs that are offered.
Well, I have to admit that I am Delgado born and bred. I started off my educational career at Delgado and have managed to work my way up. I went on to earn a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, a Master's of Science in Nursing, and I'm currently pursuing a PhD. But I was very blessed to be a part of the Delgado family. They really gave me what I needed and set me off on the right steps from the beginning. Us at Delgado, we offer a community that's safe to ask questions, and they really want you to succeed and help you grow. And when I was working two jobs and taking care of families, I was exactly the student population that I am dedicated and passionate about working with now. And while we are talking about ways to meet our community needs, Delgado has a pathway for every single healthcare industry route that you are considering going. We can start you off in our CNA program, which is open for registration. The registration's open now. The first day of classes is October 9th. That is an 8-week session that we can get you through the program that is internationally known, if we're being honest, for Charity School of Nursing. We have graduates not only in the state of Louisiana, but national and internationally. We are one of the oldest nursing programs in the state, with over 100 years of producing exceptional graduates, and we are nationally recognized for our excellence. Our CNA program can be completed in 8 weeks. We also are now approved through the Louisiana Department of Health as one of the CNA credentialing sites. So we are able to offer our students the opportunity to become credentialed for free as a part of their program coming through. Also, if you come through our CNA program and decide that you want to pursue a career as a practical nurse, we have a pathway for that. You can get credit for one of those classes in the practical nursing program as one of our CNA graduates. And our practical nursing program can be completed in 16 months. And that can put you out in the community making an average of $50,000 to $60,000 a year. That is a living wage. We
Absolutely.
Also have
and,
a registered
and the expected
nursing
job,
program.
The expected job growth for that designation is pretty healthy, too, 5% over the next 4 years. So there's a shortage, and there'll probably continue to be a shortage, right?
Yes, unfortunately, as we have nurses aging out of the system, we are entering a healthcare crisis as we continue to age out nurses. So Delgado is predominantly insured to make sure that we put our graduates out into the workforce to meet those needs.
Absolutely. And you have other programs as well, right?
Correct. We have our registered nursing program, which can be completed in as little as 5 semesters if you go through full time. We are ASIN accredited and have been for many, many years. So we are well known nationally. And the average annual salary for registered nurses of any kind, a registered nurse is a registered nurse, whether they have an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. So a registered nursing salary in Louisiana starts out at about $80,000, and we can continue to grow there from there. We have articulation agreements with pretty much every four-year institution so that we can do smooth transitions for our registered nurses to go back to get their bachelor's degrees to continue to move up into upper leadership and management, essentially like I did myself.
Yeah, and there are a lot of opportunities in that field because of all of the quality metrics that have to be met. And typically what you're seeing is folks coming out of the nursing fields that are filling those management positions, right?
Correct. As a nurse, one of the biggest things that you have to be able to do is think on your feet and be able to critically act. And that kind of automatically helps you with your leadership skills.
I didn't mean to interrupt. You were getting ready to move on to something else. Go ahead.
We also offer a pathway for licensed practical nurses to enter the workforce as registered nurses. That can be completed as either a generic track where they come through the traditional five semesters, or we have an advanced pathway that they can come through our transitions, our LPN to RN track, which is completed in as little as three semesters.
And those individuals earn an annual average salary of just under $55,000 as well. And again, very healthy outlook as to the number of positions that'll be available. You know, for a long time, people would go into a vocation and come out and the market was tight. A lot of what you talked about today, there is absolutely no anticipation that the market is going to be tight. It's going to be wide open, right?
Oh, definitely. We have a 100% placement rate of our graduates entering immediately into the field in the workforce.
So no risk. I mean, it wasn't like that when I went to college. I mean, you know, yeah. And in fact, I was talking about that earlier, you know, the fact that Delgado offers all of these multitudes of ways to educate oneself in the length of the program and, you know, the 6-week, 8-week program, 12-week program, traditional semester programs. When I went to college, they wouldn't have, in their wildest dreams, ever approached education in that fashion. So there's just so many other options to achieve what you want to achieve.
Yeah, correct. And here at Delgado, we can find a way for you. The best part about being a part of a community college is that a student can walk on campus to ask questions and actually meet with a live person. Sit down and have a conversation. How long has it been since you've been able to see that?
You guys actually have cutting-edge accommodations or infrastructure for in the nursing program for them to learn about what they're going to do, with simulation technology and other things. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are now housed in a brand new state-of-the-art building on our City Parks campus. So we have moved from the old facility that was on Claiborne. We have over 120,000 square foot facility with an entire mock hospital built on the second floor. We have skills labs for students to practice in a safe environment. We have ultra high fidelity simulators top of the line. They are so realistic. Sometimes it's actually, you forget that you're interacting with the simulator. Sometimes these new ones that they've produced are so realistic. We're, because of this, we're able to have interprofessional activities between the nursing and the allied health divisions. We have over five allied health divisions working, doing these interprofessional activities so far, and we continue to grow. Delgado is, especially with, we have the ultra-high fidelity Victoria from Gomard, and we are targeting to help decrease maternity risks. through exposing students to high-risk scenarios while in school that they otherwise may not have experienced unless they were in the hospital. We have the ability to give them that safe environment and really get them hospital ready to enter into these demanding fields and to make a difference on the risks that affect our community here. So we're really excited about that. We also have two full operating rooms on the second floor of this simulated hospital. And we're moving into a new direction with cutting-edge technology for virtual reality and artificial intelligence. And I'm so excited about this. We've just started a pilot for that this semester. We are currently focusing on that in our pediatric and OB semester. We have obtained so far $70,000 of grant funding through Carl Perkins to continue to purchase these realistic VR simulations that when you put these headsets on and are doing these scenarios, you go to feel a patient's pulse, and I swear you feel the pulse in your fingertips in this virtual reality. I have never experienced a learning opportunity that was so realistic as what we are able to offer in our mock hospital and our new AI virtual reality adventure. These artificial intelligence platforms can really personalize these learning experiences, and we can target and help students understand both their strengths and their weaknesses in areas to really help them focus on studying, to prepare them for their clinical practices, and of course, that NCLEX exam for credentialing. So we're really working hard to position our nursing school at the forefront of innovation and effective education, because we are dedicated to being number one.
Something to be really proud of, because experiential learning, everybody knows what the data shows relative to that. Obviously, you go through rotations, you work with live humans, but it's important. I mean, you provided another level here with this virtual reality and artificial intelligence that better prepares the students, in my view, to be able to better handle that experience when they have to go through it, right?
Correct. They get exposed to, let's face it, these situations can be humbling and scary, and you are dealing with patients' lives. What we do matters. The best way to make that less intimidating for a new graduate is to give them as much exposure in as realistic of a setting as we possibly can.
Absolutely. Something to be proud of.
I encourage people to come visit us this Saturday. We have an open house on Saturday.
Well, tell us about
that. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for nursing and allied health.
That's awesome. And it's going to be right there in the new facility, right?
Right there in the new facility. We can offer tours and everything if they want to come through.
Chancellor, so many things to be proud of. I mean, this is incredible news, incredible opportunities for folks in our community. And they need to take advantage of it. If they have a desire to go into nursing, they need to get over there this Saturday for sure. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts? Look, this is not your grandfather's community college. Delgado Community College is... Delgado Community College...
That is an understatement.
Oh, yeah. The College of the Now and the College of the Future. We meet you where you are. We have programs that are state-of-the-art. You know, we just talked about our nursing program, but let me tell you, that holds true for our drafting. That holds true for our technology programs. That holds true for accounting and business. We have a state-of-the-art approach to everything we do. And what our business and industry partners tell us they need, it matters. And so we take that into consideration, because the end result for us is producing an individual who can go to work, not just work, but to have a career that will change their lives for generations to come.
And I'd really like to add on to what the Chancellor said, too, and focus on the amount of just sheer free student resources that we have to help them be successful. There's free student tutoring. They have peer-to-peer mentoring, student success, writing centers, math labs. We have nursing tutoring, allied health tutoring. We have pretty much resources for any possible thing that our students can encounter to help them be successful.
We have scholarships new for those individuals that do not have the financial means. We have a foundation board that is, I tell you, they are heavy hitters on Delgado's foundation board, and they wake up every single day determined to
to obtain funding to ensure that individuals have financial means to attend college. We also have a daycare center on our City Park campus. So yes, Dr. Fernandez is correct. We have a host of resources available to our students.
Because it's all about making sure that they achieve success, right? I mean,
yeah.
We understand
yeah.
that there are curveballs in life that are thrown at us every day, God forbid. You know, and all of these resources just put you in a better position to succeed. You still got to do the work, but y'all lower the hurdles. And that's what I love about the approach.
Correct. The epitome of the definition of equity. We meet you where you are, and we help you get to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me today. This was actually fun. I love hearing about a lot of the successes. And I did want to say congratulations to the Dean, Jennifer Fernandez, recently honored in 2024's Marquee's Who's Who's list of distinguished leaders, and it was featured in the October issue of Vanity Fair. So you're big time, nationwide. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, folks, we thank you for joining us. We will be right back.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Don Dubuque, host of Bayou Wild TV and the Outdoors with Don Dubuque. He gets to do all of the fun things. And yes, Don, I am jealous. So we'll start there.
Well, I heard that song. I thought, oh, wait, is it Saturday morning at 5 o'clock already? Hey, listen, thanks for inviting me over to your studio. You got a really great place here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, you got all these broadcast journalism awards on the wall, and then that 10-pound speckled trout you caught mounted in this 10-point ball. This is really nice.
Yeah. You must be in either a nightmare or a dream right now. So tell us about this is what, the second season, right, of Tigers in the Wild. Yeah.
Tigers in the Wild, working on our second season. We're in our 13th season, believe it or not, of Bayou Wild TV, and we've incorporated this Tigers in the Wild episodes where we showcase LSU athletes from all the different sports as they experience fishing and hunting and the cooking culture of Louisiana, as well as documenting and showcasing their athletic and academic achievements. And we have had an awful lot of fun doing it, you know, with the advent of the NIL. The name, image, likeness, it kind of made a dream we had come true. We actually were working on this about 5 years ago and couldn't put it together, but the NIL seemed to be the thing that made it happen. And we've had a lot of cooperation from LSU. They're very happy because, of course, if you keep the players happy with NIL and they get to go fishing and hunting at the same time, a happy player is a good player and a good student
yeah.
as far as they're concerned. And we've had a lot of fun with them. I got to tell you, Noel, anybody that you hear a lot of talk about this current generation is referred to as Gen Z. I kind of lose track of the alphabets, but a lot of people are critical of these newer current college students and say that, you know, they're not motivated and they've got bad attitudes and they're lazy. Well, if you ever get feeling like that, just watch one of our shows where we have some of these fine students come with us. I have been awestruck by how professional, respectful, they're goal-oriented. They have an outstanding work ethic, and even some of them have even created little businesses. They've got little LLCs. They hire agents. And all of them share one thing. They've got an adventurous spirit, and I just really love working with them, and it kind of restores your faith if you think that our younger generations are not up to snuff.
Yeah, you know, Don, it was very interesting. We broadcast live from the Smoothie King Center the other day for the media day of the Pelicans. And we had the opportunity to sit down with some very young players at a new entrance into the NBA, those that had been there about 5 years. and C.J. McCollum, who's obviously the most experienced player on the team at 11 years. And it was really interesting because they all recognized the mistakes that they made as young adults entering into this world that you or I mean, none of us could imagine what it's like, right? And I have a whole different perspective of them now, and it really mimics what you just said. You know, you come in with this preconceived notion a little bit about what you hear, because you hear on the news about all the anomalies, right? You don't hear about just the mainstream, regular Joe, regular guy, putting the work in, making a difference every day.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just fascinating to watch some of them, because as I go out there and they're having fun and we're fishing and hunting with them, and I look at them and I think, this guy doesn't realize he's a future millionaire. He really is. He's got that potential. Yeah. And it's just fascinating and so refreshing to be with him. We've had a lot of fun. We have Alex Milazzo. We took him, and he's a catcher for LSU, and his battery mate, Cade Woods, kind of a local guy. We did a cast and blast with them. Defensive tackle, Preston Hickey, and his dad, Tim. We had a quail hunt in Tangipahoa Parish. Defensive tackle, Jacobian Guillory, unfortunately, he's been lost for the season. He took his big hands out there. He tried it bow fishing, and we had a lot of fun with him. Jay Demps, the volleyball star, we went crawfishing and crawfish cooking with her. And the LSU linebacker brothers, West and Whit Weeks. I took them on a wild boar hunt from airboats, and that was a very exciting trip. And we've got a few that are in the can. We've shot for the second season, and we're still working down the road for some new ones. We had the roommate, Stephen Milam, that second baseman, and the big first baseman, Jared Bear Jones. Last week, we took them down to Burris, and each one of them got a 10-foot alligator. And
oh, really?
I got to tell you, Newell, I was real nervous because both of them wanted a picture. You know how you put the alligator over your shoulders?
Yeah.
Well, these gators are in the neighborhood of 500 pounds, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. Here's going to be the news flash. Second baseman out for the season. His shoulder was hurt picking up a
herniated disc.
But they got through it. This week, if you tune in, or you can watch it on YouTube, we've got two national gymnastic team members, Sierra Ballard, who's kind of a neighbor here in Mandeville, and Ashley Cowan from North Carolina, out in the Gulf of Mexico for their first ever offshore fishing trip for Red Snapper, and I had a great time with them. We also shot a feature in Lake Pontchartrain with Mason Taylor, the destined for the NFL tight end that just caught his 100th career catch, out there catching garfish and sharks in Lake Pontchartrain. We had a couple other features that we're working on that haven't happened yet, but we're going to try to do another quail hunt, some bird hunts. We've got LSU students that when they get back to university and they showcase and the people see them, their two fellow students see them on TV and follow them on their social media, they start contacting us. I want to go. We want to go. And we've got some nighttime flounder trips, maybe some cooking features with our Bayou Wild TV chef, John Foltz. We've got beach volleyball team members want to go, even dance team members. So it's really been a success, and it's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to doing some more shows with these kids.
I can hear it in your voice, Don, that you really enjoy those that are having this experience that have never had that experience before, right? And they may not have ever seen it from afar in many cases, right? And then they go out there.
I'm sure you've experienced that, too. You know, you take the rookies out. They've never done it. And it's so much fun. In fact, I get into it now where, you know, I'll take somebody out, like my nephew, and I'll go turkey hunting, and I'll call the turkey in for him. And it's more important to me to watch them become successful and experience what I've experienced all these years than it is for me to do it sometimes. In fact, most
times. Yeah, I mean, it's the same here. If I'm deer hunting and on a piece of property and, you know, I'll pass on a really nice buck. And they said, why'd you pass on that buck? I said, I've shot so many of them. I'll just shoot the cull buck. Save those for the kids. That buck's coming back. I mean, it's going to be in this area for a while. And it's likely that someone else will see it that has never shot a buck like that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're looking forward to our next season, and you know, we've also, in addition to taking the Tigers and the Wild Kids out, we also specialize in hunt and fishing trips of a lifetime. We got hooked up with an organization, that's their name, Hunt of a Lifetime, mm-hmm. and they take terminally ill kids and grant them their wish, a hunt of a lifetime. And we've had several of them. I got to tell you, Newell, somebody up above, when we go, you know, hunting and fishing is never a sure thing. And every time we've done one of these features, it's come through. And just a few weeks ago, we had a young man named Justin Logar. He and his dad came down from New Jersey. He's a Hodgkin's lymphoma relapse patient. And his trip of a lifetime was to catch a tarpon. So we went out with Jeremy McHugh, Stillwater Charters, and it took us 2 days. But finally, he hooked up and caught the fish of a lifetime. It was one of those huge tarpon, brought it in, and we haven't aired that yet, but that was one of them. In fact, we had another tarpon, a youth that caught. He not only caught one, he caught three tarpon. It's very unusual. Most times you go out tarpon fishing, and you know, if you catch one on the whole boat, it's very fortunate. But to catch three, somebody up there helps us with those particular trips. Those are a lot of fun. We've also got an interesting feature coming up. We're documenting the first ever redfish restocking program in Louisiana. You know, we've been stocking bass and freshwater fish for a long time. Neighboring states have stocked some saltwater fish. We went down for the Ride the Bull, which is the kayak bull red tournament down in Grand Isle, and we documented catching some bull redfish, putting them in the boat in the live well. They were taken to the lab in Mississippi where they will be spawned, and then the fingerlings will be brought back to Louisiana and restocked. And we're really looking forward to the success of that program.
Has it proven successful, Don?
In other states, they have done it, yes. And I'm sure it'll work here in Louisiana. It's just a matter of doing it. You know, it's unfortunate that we don't have a saltwater fish hatchery. Texas has one. They have one over there in Mississippi and in Ocean Springs, and that's where our redfish are over there now. And we documented the first part, and when they go back to do the release, probably next fall or winter, we'll do that.
So tell us when a lot of this airs, the typical times.
Well, there's no typical time. The only typical time is if you watch it on YouTube. You pick the place, you pick the time, whenever you want to see it. Just go to BayouWildTV.com/YouTube or go to our webpage, and all of our shows are archived there. And we also have listings where the stations are across the state and where you can watch those. Here in the Metro New Orleans area, we air on WWL-TV's sister station, WUPL, Channel 54. It comes on just before my radio shows on Saturday mornings. It's at 4 a.m. If you know how to DVR, if you're not getting up that early, you can DVR it. We're on WAFB in Baton Rouge. We're on KADN in Lafayette. We're on in Lake Charles on Fox 29 over there. If you go to our website, you can find a local broadcast or a satellite or a cable station. But you can always fall back on the Bayou Wild TV. We also have a Facebook page, Instagram. Now we're on TikTok, which I don't usually go on, but we have the show there for the youngsters, and you can see video clips, blogs of the show, short versions of it, and whenever you like.
Well, please know that I'm now more jealous than before this interview started.
Well, you know, you just got to take your time and get out there and do it.
Very excited for the success of all of this that you're doing. Great shows and a lot of information as well. And we really appreciate all that you do. And I don't get the opportunity a lot of times to thank you, but you sit in for me when I take my vacation days, and I appreciate that as well.
And
thank you so much.
You go hunting and fishing while I'm on the microphone. Yeah. No, I feel very blessed. Newell, I've been doing this now almost 40 years, and still happy to do it and enthusiastic with it. And thanks for letting me come in here to your studio. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and on the way out, I'm going to admire some more of these mounts that you got over here on the wall.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you so much, Don Dubuque, host of Bayou Wild TV and the Outdoor Show with Don Dubuque. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Aziz Salah, the Palestinian terrorist who was infamous for waving his blood-stained hands after the lynching of two Israeli soldiers in in the year 2000, has been killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. The IDF confirms that Thursday. I remember this case. I remember the horrific nature of it. I was reading about it this morning. There was a British photographer who witnessed the killing, and he describes it as one of the most barbaric murders he's ever heard about and unfortunately has had to see. And he said that he knew that he would have nightmares for the rest of his life. He posted in his account published in the London Sunday Times at the time, and a mob of Palestinians had stormed the building and tortured the soldiers to death, mutilating and defiling their bodies beyond recognition. And it just went on and on and on. Well, that individual has been taken out by the IDF, thankfully. So, and this continues on, the Biden administration not making much progress on this front at all. The IDF also reports that they rescued the Yazidi girl held by Hamas in Gaza for a decade. And ISIS had kidnapped Sido in 2014 in Iraq and sold her to a Hamas terrorist. She has been rescued in Gaza as well. We will be right back. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas warned yesterday that they have insufficient funds, FEMA that is, to last through the hurricane season. Again, our priorities are wrong. Instead of bringing international refugees and supporting them to this country and providing sustenance for illegal aliens, how about our domestic citizen refugees that are forced to leave their homes as a result of natural disasters, and you have the audacity to tell us that we don't have enough money for them? Are you angry? I am. We'll be right back with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.